In all kinds of human relationships, conflict is inevitable. Actually, conflict is a normal part of any healthy relationship. In marriage and family, at school and workplaces, and in a nation and among peoples, conflict arises whenever people disagree or argue over something. With different ideas and opinions, different interests and needs, different beliefs and principles. When it is properly addressed and handled, instead of being ignored or avoided, conflict can renew and strengthen our relationships. As a human institution, church is not immune to conflict. Today's scripture reading indicates that conflict existed even in its early stages. In his first letter to the Corinthian church, right after his greeting, the Apostle Paul addresses the problem of division among its members and urges them to be united in the same mind and the same purpose. So why did he do that? Why did he say that? Why is that such an urgency? There were four different factions divided basically on the basis of loyalty to different leaders of the church. Each of the first three groups claimed Paul, Apollos, and Cephas as their leader. Paul was the founder of the Corinthian church. During his second missionary journey, Paul stayed in the city for a year and a half and worked very hard to get the new church off the ground. Apollos was an Alexandrian Jew and a very eloquent speaker. He was well-versed in the scriptures. Cephas, another name for Peter, was an eyewitness to Jesus' ministry and the leader of Jesus' 12 disciples. Then there was another group of church members who claimed not to follow any human leader but Jesus Christ. Paul was probably rebuking this group because they considered themselves to be more spiritual than other believers on the grounds that they alone were following the ultimate source of authority. Despite the Apostle Paul, his heartfelt plea for unity among Christian believers, throughout its history, the church has witnessed countless conflicts, both large and small. Sometimes conflict led the church to become united, but more often it has led to bad divisions and polarization. In the relatively recent history, the church has experienced schism over issues of slavery and racism. And today, it continues to struggle with issues of sexism, immigration, and homosexuality. This past week, the decision of the special session of the General Conference, which is a top decision-making body of our denomination, revealed that the United Methodist Church is not united, but divided. After 3 days of intense debates, a majority of the 864 delegates from the U.S. and the overseas approved the traditional plan by a very close margin. It was a result that was supported and orchestrated by a group called Wesleyan Covenant Association, which represents the voice of the conservative United Methodist, or so-called traditionalists. The decision of our denomination's top legislative body was a huge disappointment to many United Methodists. Deep felt hurt has been across the global church, and certainly within our annual conference and jurisdiction. The majority of the denominational leaders in the U.S., including the Council of Bishops, had supported the One Church plan. It would have allowed all clergy, local churches, and annual conferences to make their own decisions on ordaining LGBTQ clergy and conducting same-sex marriages. It would have made our denomination more inclusive and welcoming and kept us together. But the General Conference approved the traditional plan instead. In summary, here is what the traditional plan does. Not only reaffirms what is already in the Book of Discipline, that the practice of homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching, but it also places additional restrictions on clergy in their ministry to and with LGBTQ persons and their loved ones. The traditional plan condemns same-sex marriage and adds mandatory penalties on clergy who officiate at same-sex weddings. Pastors who violate the rule and are convicted by trial will be suspended without pay for a year and be required to surrender their credentials upon the second offense. The traditional plan requires the members of the Board of Ordained Ministry to promise that they will obey all the rules related to homosexuality. It prohibits bishops from commissioning or ordaining LGBTQ persons and requires them to dismiss complaints only for reasons of law or fact. Bishops, like any other clergy, also will be subjected to penalties for disobeying the rule. As you can see, the traditional plan is not all way forward, but all way backwards. It positions us to move backwards while our society is moving forward on the issues of homosexuality and same-sex marriage. In June of 2015, same-sex marriage became legal in all 50 states of America by a ruling of the Supreme Court. That landmark ruling came after decades of steadily rising public support for gay marriage. In the same year, national support rose to 60% for the first time, according to a Gallup poll that was published in June last year. 67%, or two-thirds of Americans, support same-sex marriage, while only 31% oppose such a union. And the number is much bigger for younger generations. 3 out of 4 millennials say they support gay marriage. Of course, we, the church, do not make our decisions on matters of faith based on polling results or posts on social media. We make decisions, what is right or what is wrong, based on what the Bible says, because it is the primary source for our faith and practice. Yet we do not read the Bible and take every word in it literally. Instead, as John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, instructed us, we interpret the scripture through the lenses of tradition and experience, and also using God's gift of reason. So today, here are some examples. So today, we do not keep the dietary restrictions that scripture says we should maintain. We do not use rods or anything else to discipline our children. Through though scripture clearly says, not only once, but over and over again, we should. We do not practice polygamy, though our ancestors of faith had many wives. No one is asked to give up his or her possessions to be a follower of Jesus Christ, though Jesus said so. And there is a, and here is a list of the things the Apostle Paul said that are in conflict with our culture and society. Women should not wear jewelry. Women should cover their heads when praying. Women should not teach men but silent in the church. Slaves should be obedient to their masters. Well, look around us and look at me. Another idea, another area that Paul is in conflict with our times is when he talks about same-sex acts. Supporters of the traditional plan say their plan is grounded in the Bible. Apparently, they read Paul's words and other Bible verses about same-sex acts literally and refuse to interpret them, which is not what they do for other parts of the scripture that they find to be unreasonable. The General Conference decision this past week is a great loss to the whole United Methodist Church family. It has hurt the LGBTQ community and their family and friends. It has made many United Methodists and churches in the U.S. feel angry and hurt. It has alienated young clergy, I'm sorry about the mispronouncing the word, young clergy and seminary students who favor full inclusion of LGBTQ persons in the life of the church. Because of the message this action sends out to the world, it will be harder for us to reach new people with the good news of the gospel, especially younger generations, our children and our grandchildren, who cannot imagine a church that treats their LGBTQ friends as second citizen, second class Christians. So what do we do in such a time like this? No matter what, we remain committed to our Wesleyan tradition. We remain committed to our theological and cultural diversity with churches that are conservative, moderate, and progressive. Here at Campbell United Methodist Church, we remain committed to full inclusion of our LGBTQIA siblings, united in the love of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who welcomed everyone. We remain committed to our mission and ministry to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Long ago, the prophet Isaiah said to the Israelites on behalf of God, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Friends, our God still speaks to us through the prophet. A new thing is happening in the life of our denomination. Though we do not see it yet clearly, we know it in our hearts. It will be beautiful. It will be rainbow colored. Amen. And we hope and pray that we will soon be able to see it clearly through the eyes of faith. In closing, I invite you to watch this video greeting from the bishops of the Western jurisdiction, which we are part of. Let's take a look.